Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, where we find Christ speaking again by parables unto the people in the temple. This took place 3 days before Christ was taken prisoner and was crucified. He spake unto them and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king that made a marriage for his son. In this, my hearers, by the kingdom of heaven, we are to understand the gospel dispensation." This gospel dispensation is the proclamation of glad tidings. It is the preaching of the gospel, which is called the kingdom of heaven. The reason it is called this is because it has been set up by the God of heaven. And this kingdom, my hearers, is not of this world. It has no worldly powers, it has no worldly armies that can uphold it and defend it. This kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and those that belong to this kingdom are those only who hear the voice of Christ, who are born again, who have been given spiritual life. They are the subjects of this kingdom. This kingdom then is proclaimed throughout the world. Christ is speaking here. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king that sent forth his son to be married. Here we have then a king. This king is God himself, who sent forth servants to be called to come to the marriage. The son is Jesus Christ. This king God, he has a people whom he shall gather to his son. And therefore the proclamation of the gospel comes to those that they may be gathered to his son, to the wedding of his son. This parable relates in the first place to the Jewish people. He sent out his servants and bid them to come to the marriage, but they refused to come. God sent forth prophets of old amongst the Jewish nation, entreating them and teaching them the way of salvation. He taught them to leave their sins, to forsake their lust, and to return unto him. He dealt not so with any other nation under heaven as he did with the Jewish nation. He gave unto them prophets, he gave unto them their whole system of religion. He delivered them out of the land of bondage, and he led them into the land of Canaan. He pleaded with them and through the mouth of his prophets and his servants. But, as the text says, they refused to come. They rejected these servants. They wouldn't give ear unto them. They listened not to the pleadings of God. And they refused the message that they brought. This message is glad tidings. It's a message of love, a message of mercy that each and every God-sent servant has in his mouth. God has endued him with this message. And these people, the Jewish people, they were a particular people. They were blessed above all the other people of the world. And still they refused to come. They not coming, God sent forth more servants, entreating them that the dinner was ready, the fatlings and the oxen were slain, and bid them to come in. But they made light of it, and they refused to come in. This teaches us that God sent forth his only begotten son. He was raised up even amongst the Jewish people, and they even treated him very spitefully. They slew many of these prophets and also his servants, his apostles. This is the reception that the gospel received throughout the world from the beginning of time even to this present time. This gospel message is still coming in the world to this day. These people, the Jews, they rejected it, and by their rejecting it, it has come also to the Gentiles. It has even come to us and still comes to us in and through the reading and in and through his servants that may proclaim the truth in this house of worship. And now these Jewish people, they made light of this. The one went to his merchandise and the other one went to his farm. They would not listen to the message that God brought to them in and through his servants. This is the case to this very day. So many people make light of the gospel message. So many in and through unbelief do not receive this message in truth. Unbelief is the greatest sin in the world. Unbelief is the cause of all disobedience in the world. Unbelief, if it remain in a person and prevail over him, he will miserably perish under it. Unbelief is a great sin which rejects Christ, which rejects this message that is being brought to the people. It is unbelief, my hearers, that caused the Jews likewise to reject Christ and what he spake about. They made light of it. The one went to his merchandise and the other to his farm. This teaches us that they were more taken up with the business of this world, with the pleasures of this world, than with the message that God brought to them in and through his servants. They then made light of it. My hearers, so many people make light of this message, so many that even come under the truth and listen to it from Lord's Day to Lord's Day make light of it. They went their ways, and so you, my hearers, probably are guilty of this great sin in making light of this message. This gospel that comes to you and in through the medium of my mouth and in and through the reading of the precious word we still have in our midst. Oh, examine yourselves, my hearers, how that you receive this message. Do you make light of it? In which way do you make light of it? Do you do like these people? You go on in your ways. You listen not to what you hear. It takes no effect upon you. It's not revealed in your heart and in your lives that it has any seriousness which has come down upon you and led you to forsake sin in the world and the things of time and sense. My hearers, so many creatures are indifferent. They live as if they have no soul. They care not about where they will spend eternity, heaven or hell. They're not worried about it. Is all they're concerned about is their business, how they will get ahead in this world. There were some that we read of. The one married a wife, the other one bought a yoke of oxen, and the other one bought something for his farm, and so we have it to this day. So many people making light of the gospel. Now let me ask you a question, my hearers. In this gospel Christ is presented to us, may I ask you, what think ye of Christ? Let me clear myself in this matter and prove to you that you likewise are making light of this message that is being brought to you. In the first place, may I ask you, what are your thoughts? Every day and every night, do you ever stop to think what your thoughts are? Do you love to think about Christ? Are your desires and are your longings going out to him? Or do you long after him? Do you love to speak about him? Is your conversation about this precious Jesus? Do you speak about him to your wife, to your children, to your neighbors? Whenever you have an opportunity, do you exalt this precious Jesus? Oh, my hearers, examine yourselves and see if I'm not telling you the truth, that you make light of this message, that Christ does not mean anything to you, that the minute you are from under the truth, you have no thought even of what you have been hearing and listening to. Immediately you are occupied with what? Probably your business, probably what we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed, and so forth and so on. But all this precious Jesus, you have no thought about him, and you have no conversation that will exalt him. Oh, how sad is the state of so many hearers under the gospel who make light of this message. Oh, my hearers, this great Savior who we all need and who we most certainly shall wish we have in that great day of accounts, we are making light of him. Oh, we need him not. We desire not his ways. We walk not in his ways. Oh, how sad is this state and condition when I consider that we all have an immortal soul, and that this Jesus is the one thing needful for our souls. And we, unconcerned about Jesus, about the message and also of the wonderful work that he performed for sinners. Oh, how can we be this way? You would think where God comes to us with his word, with his invitation, bidding us to come to Jesus, entreating us in many ways to leave our sins, to forsake the world and every form of friend, that each and every creature would be anxious to come to this precious Christ. And we find it just the opposite. They made light of it, and they go on in their ways. Are you doing this, my hearers? Does your conscience witness against you that that is your particular case, that you have done nothing else but made light of the gospel all the years that you have been hearing it? Oh, let me entreat you not to go on in this way. Oh, for your own soul's sake and for Jesus' sake, may I entreat you by the word of God, turn ye. Turn ye, wherefore will ye die? And Jesus is ready to receive and to save all those that come unto him. All may you be given to come to him. As dying men and women, may you wrestle with him in prayer. May you persevere in prayer. May you continue therein instant. And may you find that he is willing, that he is ready to save you. You may say, I can't come to him. Oh, I don't know how to come to him. Tell him that. Go to him and say, Lord, I don't know how to come to you. I can't come to you. I have a nature which is prone to leave thee and go and sin and in the world. Oh, plead with him. Wrestle with him in prayer, my hearers. Oh, I'm pleading with your souls. Believe me, I have your souls as the object of my affections. I long for you in the bowels of Jesus Christ, that I might gain yet a pearl unto this glorious mediator's crown. All we find in the word of God that he teaches us, take with you words and say unto the Lord, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Let me lay these words in your mouth, my hearers. This is gospel. This isn't the law. This is Jesus entreating you to come to him, putting words in your mouth, pleading with you that you may leave everything and come unto him. Oh, do not go on making light of this glorious message. There'll be a day coming, my hearers, when you will wish that you had listened to my voice, that you had been inclined by the Spirit to come unto him. All my hearers, they made light of it. The one went to his merchandise and the other went to his farm. Is that what you're going to do today when you leave this place? You're going to forget all about what I'm talking about. It's not going to make any impression upon your hearts. It's not going to bring you down on your knees. It's not going to lead you to seek him. Oh, let then this word testify against you. I am clearing myself of your immortal souls, my hearers. Oh, so many are going on in this way. This truth, they made light of it, is true even to the end of time. And the Lord Jesus says that this king sent out more servants, and they would not come. Oh, how these Jewish people refused what was good for their immortal souls. The Lord spake to them and entreated them. Oh, he came even with the words of Isaiah in the mouth of his servants. Ho, ye every one that thirsteth, come ye. Wherefore will ye dine? Wherefore will ye buy wine and milk without money and price? Oh, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I shall make an everlasting covenant with you. Oh, what a wonderful God we have, my hearers. Oh, how he pleads with us, how he entreats us. Oh, let him not plead in vain and in through his word. And these Jews, they turned everything away from them. They would not come to this wedding. They would not come to this feast, this gospel feast. And therefore, when they refused to come, then the Lord, he became angry. This king became angry with these people. Those that were bidden, they refused to come. And they slew some of his servants. They used them despitefully. We find in Scripture that this is true. Some of the prophets were killed, and we find that even Christ was crucified. They also took his servants, the apostles. They used them very despitefully. They put some in prison. They sent one on an island all alone. Some of them they crucified upside down. This is the way these ambassadors of peace were treated in this world. Oh, my hearers, when we read of such things, we cannot understand how human beings could be that way, where they had the good of the souls of the creatures that they spake to at heart, still they were treated in this way. And therefore, God became angry. And oh, what a terrible thing it is when the wrath of God is lifted up even a little bit. For we find that he sent his armies against this city, and he slew these murderers, and he burned up their city. This has reference to the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. These people, the Jews, they were visited by the wrath of God because they made light of the gospel. They rejected the testimony that God brought to them, and therefore wrath came upon them to the uttermost. Oh, how terrible this was for these people. Consider that 1 million Jews were slain in the siege of Jerusalem. God sent the Romans upon them. They destroyed their temple. They burned their city to the ground. And these Jewish people were scattered all over the world. This is what came upon these Jewish people because they rejected this invitation, this gospel message that God sent to them. And in and through the fall of the Jews, my hearers, we find that God in his mercy sent his servants out again and sent them out on the highways and byways to gather in whoever they met, that the wedding may be filled with guests. And they went out, these servants again, these apostles whom Jesus had sent forth, 70 of them, and also 11 of them. Oh, we read so much of their works in the book of Acts. They went forth and established churches. They preached this wonderful word, and God wrought with them. The first time Peter opened his mouth on the day of Pentecost, there was a great ingathering. It says in my text, they gathered in bad and good. 3,000 souls were added unto the church of Christ under the preaching of Peter. And then we read the Lord added daily those that should be saved. Many were gathered in. Many believers were added to the church. Oh, my hearers, these apostles, they went far and wide throughout the world. They went throughout the continent of Asia, and they began establishing churches, erecting them, and they placed elders over them, and they established them in the faith. Here and there we read that God wrought wonderfully. There we read of a Lydia whose heart God opened in Philippia. There we read also that the jailer was converted. We read of Peter going down to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, and God miraculously revealed unto Peter his purpose. Oh, my hearers, there were many good gathered in, but there were also bad. We read of an Ananias and a Sapphira in the very beginning of the establishment of the church. These hypocrites, they bought a piece of property and they sold it for a certain sum of money, and they dissembled with each other. They did not lay all the money at the apostles' feet. They agreed together to keep back part of it, not letting anyone else know about it. And how wonderfully God revealed these hypocrites, how he struck them dead, man and woman, and great fear came upon the church, and many that heard these things trembled. We read of a Simon, a sorcerer. He also believed. He also was baptized. He also came to the apostles, but also his hypocrisy was revealed, for he thought that he could purchase this gift of the laying of the hands upon people to give them the Holy Ghost by money. And Peter spoke unto him and said that he was in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity, thinking that by money he could purchase the gift of God. We see then that there were bad and good gathered together by these servants. It is still the same to this day in the churches throughout the world. Bad and good are gathered together. There will always be chaff and wheat in the church. Oh, my hearers, oh, what are you? Oh, it comes to us personally what we are, whether we are chaff or whether we are wheat. And now, my hearers, we read that these were gathered together and the wedding was filled with guests. Oh, this is teaching us that the visible church was established upon earth, that through the preaching of this glorious gospel, this church was spread far and wide, and there were bad and good. And now we have the king coming in to view the wedding guest. And when the king came in, we read he saw a man there without a wedding garment on. And he spake unto him and said, Friend, how camest thou in here without a wedding garment? And we read, and the man was speechless. Solemn words, my hearers, very solemn, believe me. In speaking to you, I am also praying that I may be solemn, that I may be sincere, that I may be honest and upright in dealing with your immortal souls. Oh, it means something to be a teacher, believe me, my hearers. Oh, there's a day of reckoning coming. We read here that the king came in to view his guest. This has reference to the day of judgment. All throughout the world there are churches, and there are bad and good assembled together. There may be many who make a profession of religion, who live so good and so godly, we would say, that you would never detect that they were hypocrites. They have on a form of religion, but they lack the power thereof. I and you cannot discern them, but that God in heaven above, he sees them, he knows them. And they may go on in this profession and even die in it without me and you realizing that they were hypocrites, that they were not true and sincere in their hearts. Oh, how necessary, my hearers, to search ourselves, to examine ourselves, for we are traveling to eternity. We are traveling to the day of judgment, and all to be deceived, all to make a profession of religion, all to be a teacher, to be a preacher, to be a pastor, to be a minister, and then in that solemn day, to be brought before the heart-searching God. Oh, how solemn that will be in that day. You ever picture yourself that day, my hearers? You ever place yourself before the tribunal of this great and glorious Jesus? Oh, what shall happen to you and I? There will be a separation in that day. God will separate the chaff from the wheat. Here on earth, they grow together, they live together, they work together. But in that solemn day, there will be a separation. The king came in to view his guests. When they had a wedding in these eastern countries, my hearers, especially a king, a monarch, he usually had a wardrobe. And the guests that came from far and wide, they all had to put on a wedding garment. This garment was a long white robe. Everyone had to take this robe and put it on. This was the law when a king's son was getting married. If somebody came in without such a garment on, why, he looked out of place, and they would look down on such a creature. And now it appears from this, what Jesus is teaching, that this took place in this marriage of this king's son. This particular person was forgetful. He forgot to get a wedding garment before he came into the marriage. This teaches us likewise that there is something necessary. This wedding garment spiritually means that we must be a true believer in Jesus Christ, that we must rest upon his perfect sacrifice as our only hope, as our only salvation. There must be a renewal of the heart. The Holy Spirit must come down into our hearts and must create us anew and give us to lead a holy life. This being clothed with this long white garment has reference likewise to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Oh, to have this righteousness upon us makes us acceptable when the marriage feast of the Lamb shall take place. This righteousness is on all and upon all that believe in Jesus Christ. And now we have this king looking upon these guests, and he sees there one man without a wedding garment on. This man probably was a brilliant person in this world. He probably had made a profession of religion. He had come out for God, for his word, had been a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had never been detected by anybody. He had died probably in this state. But now, when the marriage feast of the Lamb is to come, there we find this man assembled with a multitude gathered around the throne. And we see God sitting upon the throne, Jesus Christ, whose eyes are as a flame of fire, and who looks at every creature assembled before him. Oh, my hearers, could I impress you with this solemn scene that shall take place in that day? Oh, that day his eyes will see you and you will see him. Our eyes will behold him, my hearers. Every eye shall see him. You believe it? And how will you be found in that day, my hearers? Will you be found naked, without the righteousness of Christ, without a renewal of heart, without being born again, without believing in Jesus Christ? Oh, terrible, terrible it shall be to be found in that day. I hope that not one of my hearers may be found there in this way. Therefore I entreat you not to make light of the message that I am bringing unto you. It's a solemn message, my hearers. And this man without the wedding garment, he was spoken to by the king. He said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Oh, can't you see so many ministers, so many Bible class teachers, so many elders, so many deacons, so many who have made a profession of religion, standing before that Jesus in that day, and him saying unto them, Friend, how camest thou in hither? How come you put on a profession of religion? How come you began to teach my word? How come you began to proclaim this gospel? How come that you taught it not in the right way? What made you do these things? Oh, how many will be speechless? How many will be mute in that great day? Oh, solemn day, my hearers. Will you be mute in that day? Or will you be found clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Oh, my hearers, there are so many that live in the times in which we live who make such a glorious profession and who teach and who expound the word of God. And I am afraid, yea, I am almost sure that when that solemn day comes, if nothing takes more place in their hearts, then they will hear Jesus speaking to them in this manner. And they will be mute. Their own conscience will condemn them. Their own lives will flash up in the front of their eyes. Lost, lost, forever lost. Oh, my hearers, it means something to put on a profession of religion. It means something to come out in this world for the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ. Let me solemnly warn you, my hearers, that if you never experience being born again, if you never experience the Spirit of God working mightily in your hearts, do not put out a profession of religion. Oh, it will be better in that day had you not done so, for you will not have to answer for that sin. And now, my hearers, this man without the wedding garment, he was mute, he was speechless. And the Lord Jesus spake and said that they should take this man and cast him out. And he should be brought into that place bound hand and foot, where there would be gnashing of teeth. Oh, terrible, terrible eternity for such a person, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, can't you picture that place, my hearers? Oh, I am sure that if any of my hearers have to enter into that place, they will be saying, oh, how I wished I had listened. Oh, how I had not made light of that matter. How I had sought the Lord in the first place and left all these other things for second place. But no, I would not. I went on in my own way. I went to my merchandise. I went to my farm. I went to my business. Oh, how many will be saying that in that eternity to which we are traveling. They will have no one to condemn but their own self. Oh, my hearers, oh, what a wonderful thing it'll be for God's dear children. In that great and solemn day, and then when he views the multitude gathered around the throne, and then he will pick them up, those for whom he loved and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. All their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not one of them shall ever perish. Oh, blessed is he that is called to the marriage of the Lamb. For all things are ready, and the bride hath made herself ready. Oh, what a blessing to be made ready in this life, to be forever with the Lord in heaven above. My hearers, this parable teaches us then that there is a time coming when there will be a separation made between the visible and the invisible church. That day is hastening upon us. All signs are pointing to the end of time, my hearers. All we find scripture being fulfilled, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. Have you not met many a creature already this day speaking about the things that these creatures have in their power and how they fear? Men and women seeking to flee away from the things that are going to come upon the earth, seeking to buy homes somewhere where these bombs would not have any effect upon them. Oh, how people are in these days. They realize not that we are living in God and that He only can protect us. They are seeking protection themselves, seeking it away from God. Men's hearts failing them for these things that are going to come upon the earth. Oh, we are living in solemn times, my hearers. We know not how soon that this day may come upon us. It may come upon us as a thief in the night. And still, there are many scripture predictions that must yet be fulfilled. Oh, let me entreat you, my hearers, before this great and notable day of the Lord cometh, oh, I entreat you to seek Him yet, while you live. For while you live, there is hope. There is no sinner too old, too great, too far gone, for whom Christ cannot save. Oh, may you entreat Him and plead with Him and gain the ear of Him that He may listen to your pleadings and give you that witness in your soul that you will not be found on His left side, but that you will be gathered with those on His right side in glory above. That's all for today, my hearers.